Pastor, last night we spoke a little bit about using special ideas to find the things that you want, to learn the things that you want to be better. Some people were here, some people weren't here. I thought to just give a short review of what we talked about yesterday, and then we go a little bit further than we did yesterday. It's okay. So I think we can use aspirin for example. All right, we can start with an aspirin. In my monastery, I was trained for 20 years in a Tibetan monastery. 25 years in a Tibetan monastery, and I want to give you some of the ideas that we were taught. And I think the two big ideas are called emptiness and karma, okay? Emptiness and karma. And there are two very powerful ideas. They can change your life. They can make you successful. You can have what you want in your life. If you understand those two ideas, okay? So 23 years in the monastery, I can give you in 5 minutes, okay? Just to ask them, that's what I ask them. And these are ideas that I use myself, okay? I use them myself. And my Lama asked me, do you understand those ideas? And I said, do you know what I said? I know. Okay? I know. I always say to my Lama, I know. I use those ideas in my life. He said, do you understand emptiness? Do you understand karma? I said, yes. Then after about 8 years, then he said, well, then you go outside the monastery, you go to New York, and you make a business, and you use emptiness and karma. You use these two ideas, and you see if you can make a living. Just don't tell anybody you're a monk. You have to wear business clothes, and you use emptiness and you use karma. Let's see if you can make $1 million, and we will give to the poor people. We will give to the refugees. So he gave me one book. This is called Diamond Cutting Book, and he said you can use this book for your business guide, right? Business education. So this book was written 2,500 years ago by Buddha. And it's a very confusing book. Buddha says, I was at the Mund yesterday. It's called Mund. The tall building. Mund. Yeah, so, you know, because there's a falafel shop in front. So we were eating there late. It's the only thing open. And I went to the Mund. So the Buddha asked in the Dhammacarya Sutra, he says, is this a tall building? And then Subhuti, which is his disciple, he says, yes, it is tall. And the Buddha says, can we call it a tall building? And Subhuti says, no. And the Buddha says, you're telling me we can't call this a tall building? He says, that's correct. But it is a tall building. He says, yes, it's correct. He says, why is it a tall building? And Subhuti says, because we can't call it a tall building. You know? And then the whole sutra is like that. Then my Lama said, you take this book and you make $1 million. Business. So I'm, okay. Then I did a meditation. What kind of business to do? Then it came diamond business. You should do diamond business. So I don't like diamonds. I don't like blood diamonds. I don't like mining holes, big holes in the ground. I don't like any business, nothing. I don't like any of it. But we had a fight for 1 year. But you cannot say no to me. If you say no to me, I'll have to pay the money. So I said, okay, I will try. Then now that business is $250 million per year. And last year was sold to Warren Buffett, this American guy. He's number two in America right now. Number one is Bill Gates. I think Warren Buffett is... $70 million, no, something like that. So he bought the company, and I used emptiness and karma, these two ideas to make the cup. Then I told yesterday I had some handicap in my foot. I had bone here, some bone problem, and the bone was bent like that. And then my teacher told me, you use diamond cutting hook. You use emptiness and then it's karma. And you can fix the bone. The bone will straighten. You know? And it hurt a lot. It was very painful. Someday I have to lay down on the, what do you call it? On the bed. I cannot get up. Sometimes I go to the office, I have to wear only one shoe. Because it's swollen, and it won't fit into the shoe. So people are laughing at me. I'm a big businessman, and I'm only wearing one shoe in the office. And I'm going around like this. And so I used diamond cutter on the foot. Then now I do ballet. On this point, and last year I got the first time I got a woman over my head, maybe, you know, and I was really happy. It took me like 5 years to get her up, now I can. I couldn't do that 30 years ago. I couldn't do that. You see, and I used the karma ideas. And you can also use for partner. You can use for relationship. You can find a partner that you want. If you already have a partner, you can fix them. Okay. Whatever you don't like about your partner, you can change it. It's like your bone in your foot, or you know, everything is doable. You can change anything. I think we should have those three things. I think everybody wants them. And you know, people say, "Oh, Buddhist monk shouldn't want anything." It's not true. You see? We want people to be happy. We want people to be successful. We want people to be peaceful, right? We want things. We don't want people to have problems and trouble, right? It's not wrong to want peace in the world, prosperity. It's not wrong to want nobody suffers. You know? This kind of hatred is okay. To hate suffering, to stop suffering. This is okay. I think it's okay. You get enough money that you're comfortable, and you get a strong young body that you can keep, and then you have a nice relationship. Why not? This is okay. Then you can do the big things in life. You can change the world. You can bring peace to the world. You can stop wars in the world, because it's all the same. The method to start fastest growing business in the history of Europe, or the method to change the bone in your foot, or the method to find the most amazing, how do you say, beautiful partner in the world, and the method to stop war and stop hunger in the world. These are all the same. There's one method, and it works for everything. Okay. And it works for Aspen also. So I will just explain this karma and emptiness with the Aspen. And then you have to try it. Everybody talks about karma. You know, they say karma, karma, karma. You know, and then people say, what is karma? If you go to China, we go to China a lot. We teach in China. We are teaching in China in December for a month. And if you say karma in China, the Chinese word is yi ni. If you say ye ni in karma, it means, in China, it means, karma means bad luck. So, you know, I used to use ye ni. I said, oh, you have to understand ye ni, how to make money. And they said, no, I don't want ye ni. You know, so ye ni means, they think word karma means bad karma, you see? And then we teach in India. We were teaching in India 2006, I think, right? And you say the word karma. And then Indian people say, yeah, I understand karma. What is karma? Karma means you can't do anything. You know, everything is karma. If there's pollution, the ecology, environment is dirty, it's just karma. If there's a war in Iraq, it's just karma. You know, you can't do anything. So in India, karma means can't do anything. In China, yeni means bad luck. In Europe and in America, I think karma, they also don't understand. They just say, well, that's your karma. You say, I have a headache, and they say, okay, that's your karma, don't worry. You know, just relax. It's your karma. You know, so it means you can't do anything about it. You know, something like that, okay? These are very wrong, very wrong. If you understand karma, if you understand emptiness, you can make a big company, you can fix your life, you can find the most holy being in the world. You can do these things, okay? So I can teach you karma in 5 minutes, okay? It's easy, okay? But it took 20 years for me to really understand. You know, you can go into a Buddhist center and they will talk about something, but then you don't really understand it. So we're going to try with Asuka, okay? So this is an Asuka. And when you use Asuka, yeah, when you have a headache, only the Colombians are speaking in Holland. If you have a headache, you take an aspirin, right? You take an aspirin. Okay. If you have migraines, you take some sumatriptan. Okay, that's different. But if you just have a headache, you take an aspirin. Okay. Why do you take aspirin? Yeah, you're having pain and it hurts. It hurts. You want to stop the pain. You want to stop the pain. That's why you take the aspirin. Is aspirin a medicine? Is it a kind of medicine? What kind of medicine? Yeah. Why? What's the meaning of medicine? Just say what you think. Yeah, it stops illness. It stops sickness. This is the meaning of medicine. Medicine meaning is that the thing which stops the sickness, you take it, and then the sickness will stop. And that is medicine, okay? Is this church, I shouldn't say that, is my shoe medicine? Is my shoe medicine? No, I mean, if you try to eat the shoe, it's not going to, you're just going to get more sick, okay? So what's the difference between my shoe and this thing? What is the difference? Yeah, this thing helps your sickness. And this one doesn't, normally. Okay? Now I have another question for you. So we can say that medicine is the thing which takes away your sickness. Yeah. And that's why shoe is not medicine. Shoe is for walking. You can't walk on aspirin. The shoe is the thing which you can walk on your feet and you feel better. In India, I had to go up this mountain called Palampur. No, Palitana in Gujarat state. Anyway, you have to walk for 5 hours and you're not allowed to wear shoes. It's bad luck, you know? So, if you wear the peel, it won't help you, right? This is a medicine. This is a shoe. This helps for walking. This helps for when you get sick. This is obvious, okay? We know that. Now comes the big question. If you take this aspirin, will your headache stop? She gave the most beautiful answer, okay? It's true. Everybody knows. It's not a secret. It's not like Kabbalah or Tantra. You know, if you take this thing, sometimes headache will stop. Sometimes headache will not stop. If it doesn't stop, you take 2 or 3, or then you try something else. I like to try a chocolate chip cookie. Okay? It works for me, sometimes. So we can say that the aspirin, it works sometimes, and it doesn't work sometimes. Okay? True? True or not?
True.
Is it a medicine? Careful. Be careful. Yeah. She's great. She got 2 right answers in 1 minute. She's very lovely. Yeah, it's yeah, you have to say, if you take this thing and it doesn't work, then you have to say it's not a medicine, right? You have to say that. At that time, when it doesn't work, it's not a medicine. But can you say it's a medicine if it works sometimes, and then it doesn't work sometimes? Is that still a medicine?
Yes, it's a more effective medicine all the time, but it's still a medicine.
Well, be careful, because if you say when it's not effective, it's still a medicine, then my shoe is a medicine. Because it's also not effective. You see, when it's not... We talked last night about two planets, right? This is planet, what? A? Planet A. And then somebody comes from planet B, okay? From another planet. The other planet works better, okay? They come to this planet and say, what do you people do when you get a headache? And people say, well, we have this aspirin thing. And then you say, well, what do you use it for? And they say, well, you eat it, and you take some water, and the headache goes away. And the planet B person says, does it work all the time? And you say, no. And then they say, but you think this is a medicine? And you say, yes. And then they say, but it only works to some time. And you say, yes, right? Then I have an example, okay? You are going to Schiphol? Airport.
Yes.
Yeah, and you go there, and then you bought a cheap ticket because you work for Diamond Cutter Institute. And you go to the airplane door, you know, and there's a stewardess is there with a paper. And she says, wait, stop, you cannot get in the plane. You have to sign a waiver, liability waiver, okay? And then you say, why? You know, and they say, don't be concerned. In India, they say, no problem. When the guy says, no problem, you have to be careful. Can this taxi get me to Dharamsala? No problem. And then they go like this, no problem. And then you have to say, wait a minute. So the lady said, no problem. And then you say, no, really, I was signing, just tell me why, what's it for? And she says, well, you know, it's a little thing, you know, just fine. And you say, why? And they say, well, it's an insurance waiver, you know. And you say, well, nobody asked me before to sign the insurance waiver when I got on the airplane. Why are you asking me to sign the insurance waiver? And she goes like this, and she says, well, we almost understand how to fly this plane. You know? It's working 90% of the time, it goes up. 90% of the time, it doesn't fall down. You can get to Paris, or you can even get over the ocean to New York. 90%, these planes are fantastic, you know? Just 10% falls down sometimes. All the people die, you know? And then we get insurance, lawsuits, people want to sue the company, you know? So we just ask you to sign the paper. And then it doesn't matter how cheap the ticket is. You know, you save $100 on the ticket, but they want you to sign this waiver, and they say 10% of the plane will fall down. Will you get on there? You won't pay $100. You will go back to KLM and say, okay, I will pay $100 for it. You know, just put me on a plane that somebody knows, understand the plane, how to fly the plane, right? You won't risk your life. You won't risk your life for something which only works sometimes, right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You won't take a medicine which just works sometimes, right? You won't go to work at a job. You won't get up on a day that you might die on the way to work in your car. Right? Right? Am I right? When you go in the morning, when you wake up, why do you step out of the bed? Why? Why do you get out of the bed? Why? Just tell me why. Even from Colombia is okay. Why do you get out of the bed? You want something. You want money, or you want to meet a girl, or you want to have a beer, or you want to see the television, or you want to take a walk in the park. Or there's a reason. You have a reason. You have a goal. You know, the alarm clock goes off, beep, 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 and you stop it, and maybe you complain a little bit, you know, I don't want to get up. Then you say, okay, I have to get up. I have to get up for what? My job, I have to go to my job. I need to make money. I want to meet a girl. know, I want to go to the toilet. It doesn't matter. You want something, right? I know very, very depressed people, very sad people. They sleep all day. They don't get out of the bed. You say, what? Get out of the bed. You know, it's a value problem. Get out of the bed. You know, and they say, for what? You know, for what? And then you say, go get a job, make some money, or, you know, go to the park, or have a nice breakfast in the restaurant. And they say, who knows? I will get to the door and then I will die in the street. I don't know. Who knows? You don't know for sure. Maybe we can say maybe you will die one day on your way to your job. We can even say it is certain that you will die one day on your way to your job. It's sure. 100% sure. One day you will not be able to go to your job. It's sure. It's 100% sure. You will die one day on your way to your job. You see, we do a meditation in the monastery called dying meditation, and you pretend today is your last day. You know, you get up and you say, it's a special meditation, and you say, this is my last day. I'm going to get hit by a car this afternoon. And then you only do what's important. And then you meditate the whole day. So, you know, your life changes, you know. You don't watch television, or you don't complain to your husband, or, you know, you don't waste time. You do a special meditation in the monastery. You think, today is, you wake up, today is my last day. 3 o'clock, they're going to kill me. I will die in an automobile at 3 o'clock. Now, what am I going to do? I have like 6 hours. In the rest of my life is 6 hours. So what am I going to do, right? You wouldn't do something meaningless, and you wouldn't do something that you know it's not going to work, or you think it may not work. You see, we are doing all day, every day, everything we do, we don't know if it will work. You see? We don't know if it will work. Okay? True? We try. All you can say, they say, will you make money today? You say, I'm trying. I try. I don't know. Maybe the deal will close. Maybe the deal will fail. I don't know. But I'm going to try. And, you know, I studied in the school, and I look at the economy, and I learn how to do my job, and I'm going to try to make some money today. And then the person says, will you make money today? Are you sure? And you say, I hope, or 80% chance, or 90% chance, or I made money for 3 years, and now today is probably the same. Then they say, are you sure? And you have to say, no. If you take this thing, will it work? Maybe, but maybe not. You see, maybe if you eat the shoe, it will work also. I mean, so we say the asking is empty. That's emptiness, okay? What's emptiness? Two people have a headache. Two people take the aspirin from the body. Two people eat the aspirin. One person, headache is finished. One person, the headache is not finished. So now I have a question for you, okay? This is, think about it. Is there anything in the aspirin which can take away your headache? Question. Is there anything in the aspirin which can take away your headache?
Potential.
You can say potential. You can say maybe. But is there anything which is sure to take away your headache in the aspirin? This is now becomes very interesting, you see? They put in the bottle, on the bottle they say active ingredient, right? The ingredient which will help you. In aspirin, it's an aspirin. In the migraine, it's a sumatriptan. You know, it's different for each thing. But they're inside of this. This pill is mostly, I don't know, 95% is just powder, right? And then 5% is active ingredient, okay? That's the ingredient which takes away your headache. Does it take away your headache? No. You have to say, yeah, not necessarily, okay? So can we say that the active ingredient is not active?
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it's active, and sometimes it's not active. Sometimes it works, and sometimes it's not. It doesn't work. So it's not. Get this, okay? I'm from another planet. I'm trying to explain to you a big mistake you are making your whole life. Your whole life you are making mistakes. I'm from another planet. I'm just trying to get you to, you know, You go, oh, you know, I watch it and go, oh, I got, yeah, okay, get this. There's nothing in there that will take away everybody's faith, right? So if it takes away your headache, something else is happening also to make the ingredient work. You see what I mean? The ingredient works for some people, and the ingredient doesn't work for other people. So for some people, something else is happening. And for some people, that's not happening. We can agree? Be careful. In the, you know, if you take a position, then it, you can, it's like chess. Then after a half hour, you die. You know? Then they're like, ah! You know? Then you go, oh, I shouldn't have said half an hour ago. Okay? We can say, when the aspirin works, something is helping the active ingredient. And when the aspirin doesn't work, that thing is not there. Okay? What is now? What is that other thing? You see? What makes the active ingredient active? You know? What makes the pill work? Is not the ingredient, got it? That's not the final thing. That's not the thing inside which cures the headache. Something else has to be there. Okay? What is that? Karma. We forget the word karma. I like seeds, okay? Seed in the mind. There must be seed in the mind, okay? When something is coming from the person's mind who took the aspirin and it worked, and something is not coming from the person's mind who took the aspirin and it doesn't work, because it's not coming, the extra thing is not in the aspirin. It must be coming from the individual person. You see, it must be. His headache goes away. Her headache doesn't go away. It must be to do with them. It's not a problem here. It's some problem there, you see? What is that? Okay? What is that? We say, if there's a seed in your mind, if you have the good seed in your mind, forget the word karma. If you want, I don't use the word karma because everybody gets confused. You can call it lele jikin natsuke, deni sepa da deche. Sepa yiki deyino, deche yuna ngaki le. Very famous. This is Abhidharma Kosha, fourth chapter. Forget the word karma. You can think seed in your mind. Just a seed in your mind, okay? If you have that seed in your mind, the active ingredient is active. Okay. If you don't have the seed in your mind, the active ingredient is not active. I don't know why they call it active. It's not active, okay? Maybe a potentially active ingredient, okay? But then the four is potentially active. But anyway, so now, just for this small thing, I'm not talking about $250 million. I'm not talking you can change the bone in your body. I'm not talking you can find the most exquisite creature in the world to be your partner. I'm not talking that, okay? I'm just trying to get the aspirin to work for you, okay? Just one aspirin. If you figure out the aspirin, you can do the money. And you can stop war also, because it's all the same. It's all the same thing. There's a seed in your mind. If that seed is there, the aspirin will work. If the seed is not there, the aspirin will not work. So our job tonight, you know, we have one night together. We are going to recover tomorrow. We have one night to figure out what? How to put the seed. How to put the seed in your mind. Because you like the aspirin to work when you have a headache. The hope level goes up, right? You're like, oh, I hope it works, you know? Because there's nothing feels so bad as a headache, right? You really want it to work, right? So you must understand how to plant the seed for the aspirin to work. Because it will also apply to your business strategy and to your boyfriend strategy and to your health strategy. You see, it's all the same. If you understand how to plant a seed, you can make $250 million in your spare time, in your free time, you know, 2 days a week. And you can finish, you can be the first American to finish a Geshe in 600 days, in 2 days a week. And then you can have 3 days a week to relax, okay? If you understand how to plant the seed. So, We're going to tonight show you how to plant a seed. We have, I think we have three jobs, okay? I'm saying three jobs. First job, how do you plant a seed? For money, for health, for husband, for boy, and for a world where there's no war. Okay, how do you plant a seed? Second job, how do you make it grow fast? Okay? We don't want to sit around for three lifetimes. You know, you go born three times. This is not too long. Okay? I would like 1 month or 2 months, you know? I would like it fast. How do you make it fast? Okay? Second question. Third question. There's a special energies in your mind. Well, let's put it this way. If I tell you that helping lonely people is the seed to find a nice partner. You see, if I tell you, helping the old people puts the seed in your mind to find the most exquisite partner in the world. Okay? If I tell you, that's how you plant the seed. And if I tell you all the seeds, there are many seeds in your mind, and they go off one by one. If you collect the seed in December, and you collect the seed in January, which one will open first? Yeah, December will open first. Okay? The first seed in is first seed out. First seed in, first seed out. Right? So now I tell you, if you want to make money, you have to give money to the poor people. But if you ignore them, if you don't help someone who needs help, you are planting a bad seed. If you have ignored the people who are hungry in the world for the last 30 years, and then you start planting seeds in September of 2010, which one opens first? The last 30 years. You have 30 years of ignoring poor people's seeds in your mind, okay? And if you, they will open first. Even if I explain to you, even if I teach you how to make a seed for $1 million, the old seed are going to open first. You have to wait for all the 30 years of seeds to open. Okay? So I must teach you before we leave for Hamburg, I must teach you how to destroy the old seeds. How to cancel the old seed. Then the new seed is ready. He can. We call it like a Schiphol airport, you know. The bad seeds are ready, and the good seed, now your new seed is behind. So we want all other airplanes to cancel. All those flights cancel. Then now your new seed should take off tomorrow. You see? So I have three jobs. How to plant a seed. How to make it fast. And how to stop the old ones. And how to cancel the old flights. Okay, got it? Three things. There are two practices you can do which make the seeds open in your mind faster. Okay? If you have a lifestyle. Actually, three things, okay? If you have a certain lifestyle, those seeds will open faster. You can become seed master. Seed meister, yeah? What do you call seeding? Exactly. Yeah, there are many reasons. But if you do three things, it prepares your mind. Your mind is prepared, okay? One is meditation. If you learn to meditate, then you plant a seed, it's very nice, the seed is very happy, okay? If you do some exercise, like yoga is very good, then the seed will, your mind is bright. If you ride a bicycle, that's the same. I think that's why so many people in Amsterdam are a little bit brighter, you know? Because they are, everybody is getting some air, you know? So if you prepare the body and the mind, okay? And then if you don't hurt other people, but that's, we talk about that. So I thought tonight, maybe, last night we started a meditation. And tonight we're going to continue that meditation. This meditation, tonight you'll get two new meditations, okay? One meditation you can do everywhere. And this is the most powerful meditation. Last night you learned the first time. Will taught us. You think about your friend who has some problem with your eyes closed. And then you breathe in. When you breathe in, you take the problem from there. Like that. And when it comes inside of you, you destroy it. Like white light. Like my Lama, he doesn't speak English much. He said, go inside. Bad. Other person, bad. You breathe. Take. Bad. Come to heart. Bad. Photo. Photo. You know?
If you have a thought that comes into your mind, just kind of put that on the shelf and come back to your breath so you stay focused. Any problems. Maybe that person that lost the job and has a family they need to help. Or someone that just found out they're really sick. Or someone that's depressed. And we're going to imagine that we're sitting right in front of our friend. And we're an invisible angel. And we're smiling at our friend. And we can see that they're not happy. They've got sadness on their face. And so our job is to give them some happiness. And so you're just smiling at your friend right now. And we decided that we want to give them so much happiness. And it's almost like warm water touching the top of their head. And it's warm and flows down the side of their head. And it continues onto their shoulders, down their arms, until it almost feels like a warm blanket wrapped around them. And we're giving them happiness and joy and hope. As we sit across from a friend, we can start to see a little smile on their face. We realize that we've taken their pain and we've given them happiness and joy. And we know that it works.
So I thought we do a plan. I'll talk about how to plant the seed and then how to make it fast. Then we'll take a break. And then when you come back, we will talk about how to stop the old seed. And then I think it's good if you can ask questions, right? If you have some questions. When the people are talking, sometimes question comes in your mind, right? So we gave everybody a piece of paper, and during the break, you can write a question, and then I'm going to invite, we have a staff here, I don't know, 7 or 8 teachers. We have a university in America. It's a free university, no charge, but very tough, and it takes 12 years to finish. They are graduated last June. First group, 12 years study, and they are very tough. They can answer questions very well, I think so. So we will have a little bit question answer. But now, before the break, just I tell you how to plant the seed, yeah? And how to make it faster. There's a problem. If you plant the seed, if I tell you how to plant the seed, and then the thing you want doesn't come quickly, if it comes after 2 years or something, then a question will come in your mind. You will say, maybe that came because of what I did, but maybe not. It's been so long, it was 2 years ago. If we can make it fast, if you give money today and then next month a big money comes to you, you will say, probably it comes from what that guy said. So you will have a belief in that. Belief in Tibet means you saw the thing work, so you believe, you know. And you don't have to believe if you don't see it work. So I have to show you how to make the seed grow fast. Then you will have faith from understanding. We call Tangwe Depa. Tangwe Depa means faith from understanding, all right? Okay. You do some experiment in your life. What was my experiment? My company, Lama said, try to make $1 million. This is your laboratory. This is your experiment. If it works, then you can use it for other things. If it doesn't work, then you can get a job in Los Angeles and go surfing, which was what I used to do. So then I made $250 million, okay? I did a little bit better. So let's talk about how to plant the seed. If If you want a seed for Aspen to work, if you want to put a seed in your mind to make the active ingredient active, okay, how to put that seed in your mind, okay? You must help other person who has a headache, okay? That's all. You must, when someone is sick, you have to take an interest, okay? Oh, do you feel okay today? Can I help you? Can I make a coffee for you? Can I get you an aspirin? Would you like to rest? You know, you take an interest and be, help them. Then you, maybe you will give them aspirin. Okay? Then when you give aspirin, okay, this is the other person's hand. Okay? When you put the aspirin in their hand, recording is laid in your mind. You see? Recording is laid in your mind. Like a video camera. Okay? Recording is everything you ever did in your life. Everything you ever said in your life. Everything you ever thought in your life. It's in the mind. The mind is like a hard disk computer. Everything is there. I did in 2000 a 3-year meditation. No talking for 3 years. And I went in the desert in Arizona to one little room in the desert. Very hot, no electricity, no water. Just I get 1 gallon every day. 2 liters something every day water. And no light, nothing. And stay for 3 years, no talking. Just meditate. And you think, oh, this must be very fun. It's not fun. It feels very bad. First 6 months is fun. Everything is quiet. You don't have to do any work. She was my cook. And she, 3 years, she cooked the food. And she puts in a box. Box has 2 doors. Outside one door, inside one door. She put in the food in the box. Then I can hear her. Then after she leaves, I can open the door, I can eat the food. And that's it. I didn't see her for 3 years. But she cooked for me for 3 years. Okay? So you just, like that, very quiet. No job, no work, no taxes, no job, no family, nothing. Just one room. And you meditate. You know? And first 6 months is very good. Then after that is a big problem. Okay? In my mind, one day, I heard something. It's very quiet. Then I heard someone is behind me. He said, "Uh-oh, spaghetti-o," like that. I thought, oh, what is that? Then he said again, that's my house, by the way. And then he said, "Uh-oh, spaghetti-o." Then I'm like, what is that? You know, I thought maybe God talking to me. And then I thought, oh, when I was a child, small boy, I was watching television. And they have a special advertisement for spaghetti. It's a, uh-oh, spaghetti. And I didn't think about that for 30 years, about that. Now in the meditation, all the things come up to the mind. So everything you say, everything you see, everything you think, everything you do, it's in your mind. It's there. If you meditate for 3 years, you will find it. You know, every movie I saw, every film, I saw during 3 years. I just have to think of the name of the film, then I can watch the whole film without DVD. You know? It just comes in my mind. Because every film you saw is in your mind. You know, that's why you have to be careful what film you see. Okay? When you give the aspirin to your friend, it puts a seed in the mind for a picture of aspirin, which works. It puts a picture for an aspirin, which works. It puts a seed in your mind. Then after 1 month, you get a headache. You go to the toilet, you open the aspirin, you take out the aspirin, you look at it. You swallow, right? When you look at it, the seed in your mind grows. the seed in your mind opens. Then you take it and the headache goes away. You see, it's very beautiful. The active ingredient is the seed, the real active ingredient. The apparent, this is for the Buddhists, okay? The Kuntop Denpa. The apparent active ingredient is asking. The real active ingredient is what? You gave aspirin to somebody else, okay? You gave aspirin to somebody else. But you gave them an aspirin that didn't work, right? We have to talk about that. Somebody's going to talk about that. Okay, but you're trying to help them, right? Okay? Now, that's how you plant the seed. If you give, it just takes interest in people who are suffering. If you watch in your life, in your job, someone is unhappy, someone is sick, then you just don't ignore them. Just say something. You know, do you need something? Would you like something? Give them something. Okay. Then it puts the seed in your mind. Your body will get younger every year. Very strange. Really strange. Okay. I didn't find the seed for hair yet. Okay. I'm still studying all the sutra. But I couldn't find the hair sutra yet. But we are working on it. But the rest, you can keep it. It will be, every year you feel younger, more energy. Then you go with your other young people and they feel tired. And you're like, why am I tired? You know, like that. So you can plant the seed for health, okay? How to plant the seed for money? Yeah, give money to other people, okay? I was in a big company, right? My company making a lot of money. Then every 6 months, I take half the money, I give to the refugee, Tibetan refugees. Then one day, the CFO, the financial officer, came to me. His name is John Esposito. I remember, we are in the hallway in the company. And he said, Michael, you know, here's your check for the Tibetan refugee. But I have to say something to you. Then I said, what? He said, do you understand your retirement pension is zero? You know, you are using all of your money for the refugee. And someday the company will finish and you won't have any money. You know? And then I said, well, what do you want me to do? He said, you must invest. You must reinvest some of the money that you have. You know, don't give all the money to the Tibetan refugee. You know? Then I said, I am reinvesting. You know? That's my pension. You know, they are my pension. The bank is the people. You see, I'm making investment in the bank. The bank is the refugees. And I'm putting my money there because the money will come back. Then I will have money when I'm old. You see, it's not the money you put in the bank. It's the money you share. That money will come back. You see, and I just have, I have so much money, I don't know what to do with the money. He cleans out my bag sometimes. He says, Geshe-la, your bag, money is coming out, people are following you. Money is falling out of your bag all the time, you know. I said, okay, just get rid of it, you know, take care of it. And like that, it will just come, okay? Share it with other people, all right? If you want to be healthy, help the sick people. If you want to find the most exquisite being in the world as a partner, find lonely people and help them, okay? Then, it's very interesting, we say, what do you say? Dharmi sem chen tante la yishin no bo leha ben dun chok du be samba yi ta tu che pa zimba shok. Very famous, what is that? Yeah, it's the first verse of 8th verse, very famous, 1,000 years ago. If you understand this system, and you find a poor person, or you find a sick person, or you find an old person, you are so happy. You're like, will you be my partner? Let's make a business deal, you know? You be old. You be sick. You be, you know? Like that. You be poor. Then I'll be your partner. A business partner. I will give you money. I will take care of your sickness. You know? I will take you to dinner and make you happy. We can make a deal. Like, you be poor, I will give you. And then I will, all this stuff will come to me, you see. You need them. You need poor people. You need sick people. You need old people. When you find one, you have to be happy. And you have to catch them. You know? Like, you have to say, wait, you, stay, don't move. You stay there. Come to my house. You know? And you have to help them. Because they know what you want. Money will come, or your health will come, or like that. Okay? Now, you reached coffee, okay? The coffee is very close. I have to tell you how to make fast, okay? And I won't, I'll do fast, okay? I will explain fast. We call Shi Sambador Tati. This is the system in Tibet. Number one, there's four, okay? You should write someplace, okay? If you have. There are four ways to make it faster, okay? You give money to somebody, you want it to come back faster. Or you help the sick person, you want the bone in your foot to change quickly. Or you want a partner before you're too old to mess around with the partner. Okay? You want them a little bit young. So you want to do it now. You don't want to wait 5 years, 10 years, okay? So how to make it fast? Four ways, okay? Four ways to make fast. Number one. Let's use money. I give example for money, but you can use it for other things, medicine or taking flower to the lonely person or like that. So find the best person to give the money. Don't be lazy. Don't give money to anybody. You be selective. Find the best one. Who is the best one? Find the most poor person you can find. Desperate. They are really poor. They have big problem. Okay? That's number one. Look for someone who doesn't have anybody else to help them. Okay? They are from some lousy country. They are living in some bad place. Somebody came to me from Sudan. They said, Geshe Michael, please come to Sudan. I said, is it safe there to come there? They said, well, my father was kidnapped 3 times so far. Nobody wants to go to Sudan to help the poor people. Nobody wants to go there. It's dangerous. But if you want this system, you help the people who have nobody else to help. Nobody wants to help them. If you can find somebody who is helping many other people, help them. For example, in Congo, in Rwanda, somebody came to me. They are teaching yoga in Rwanda. It's a woman. She is teaching, she's American. She is teaching yoga in Rwanda to poor people, women. These are not normal women. These women were raped by the army. And they got AIDS from the rape. So she, in her ashram, there are only a few hundred women. They all have HIV, all have AIDS. And she teaches them yoga. I can send the money to one of those women. I can give one of those women, I can give her some food. Okay? But if I help the helper, if I give her money, she will help 100. Be smart with your investment. Okay? Pick the person who is helping many other people. Okay? And give the money to them. Then they will help more people. Then the seed is much faster. What does fast mean? What does fasting mean? In my business, in diamond business, 3% growth is unusual. 3% annual growth is very, very good. 5% is impossible. Because all the diamond costs the same. There's no competition. All the diamond is coming from De Beers. The stone costs the same for everybody. You can't make more money than other people because the diamond all costs the same. So 3% is good, 5% is good. We make 100% every year. 15 years, 100% every year. How? Give the help to the people who are helping many people. Got it? That's one trick. If you help someone who helped you a lot, if you help somebody who gave you much help, much faster, much more prophecy. So we say your father and your mother, very good investment. Okay? Very good bank. Help your father, help your mother. Then in America, they say, I don't like my mother. 50% say, I don't like my mother. Then you say, did your mother give you birth? They say, yes. But later she didn't like me. I said, but 9 months she carried you, right? Yeah, she carried me 9 months. Didn't she risk her life to give you your life? She knows she will die. She can't die in the hospital. She knows that, but she wants to give you her body. She wants to. She wants to give you life. She risked her life for your life. It doesn't matter how bad your mother was, she risked her life for your life. Then you help her. You know, you help her. She taught you to speak. She taught you to walk. These are, you forgot. She gave you the best things, right? It doesn't matter later on she yelled at you because you didn't have a good job or something. It's okay. Okay? So, help your mother, help your father. Very powerful. Help your old teachers from your school or your business or who taught you your job, who taught you your writing, you know. Go back to the school, help them, thank them. Help them, okay, with money. That's number one, okay? That's just, all of that is number one, okay? Find a good person to give the money to. Don't give the money anywhere. Don't write a check and send to charity, you know. Number two, have the right state of mind. That's what she's talking about before. That's what you're talking about. Should have love, okay? Should have real love for that person. We are all going to die. I mean, maybe. Everybody is going to die. There's no... Everybody's precious, you know? Everybody has problems. Everybody. There's nobody who doesn't have problems. You see rich people, famous people, you say, oh, they are happy. I wish I was... What's her name? Angelina Jolina. You think, I would like to be her. She is beautiful. She has the best lips. And she has Brad Pitt also. You know? And then you study them, you meet them, and they look unhappy. They're unhappy. Everybody's having trouble. Everybody's sad. There's no reason to not like everybody. You know? Some people happy, some people sad, some people old, some people young, some people rich, some people poor, but everybody's dying. We are all the same. So be nice to them. Love them. Okay? First thing is love. Okay? Just love them. Understand what you are doing. Okay? Understand what you are doing. If I give money to you just because I feel happy, or because yesterday I won the lottery, okay? Then you can have some money. You will get money back, but not much. Not much, okay? But if you think in your mind, I'm going to give $100 to Congo, the school, to help the poor people, and when I send the money, I put a seed in my mind. Then what's going to happen? What's going to happen? More money will come back. More money will come back. What will you do with the new money? Yeah. Reinvest. Reinvest. You said, you give $10, $100 come. Take 50, give again, 500 come. Take 250, give again, 2,500 come. Take 1,250, and then comes back 2,500. You see, it just, you have to keep moving the money. Keep it moving, okay? So when you give the first time, in your mind, if you understand everything, it's faster. The main way to make it faster and more powerful is understanding, just understanding. In Sanskrit, they call what? The sixth perfection must accompany the other five. What's it called? Prajnaparamita. Very famous. The perfection of wisdom. If you do a good action without mitzvah, without understanding, it's not going to cause a big result. If you do with understanding, prajnaparamita, that's the meaning of prajnaparamita. Give the money with understanding. Oh man, then it double, 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 double. Okay, like that. That's the main thing. Okay, While you give it, understand what you're doing, okay? Give it with style. I'm still at number two, okay? This is all your state of mind. How do you give the money? Here, have the money. You know? Or you go to the refugee camp. You send a check to the refugee camp. Small fee. Every 6 months, in my company, we get on the airplane, we fly to India, we get in a car in Bangalore. It's 8 hours to the refugee camp. And you always see two or three people die in the car on the way. Very dangerous, really dangerous. And you go to the refugee camp. You get to the refugee camp, you are tired. You flew for 18 hours. You drove for 8 hours. You're tired, you are thirsty. You say, give me some water. They give you water, it's black. The water is black, you know. And you say, you know, could I have some bottled water? And they look at you like you're crazy, you know. They say, no bottled water here. This is all we have. Then drink it or don't drink it, it's up to you. Then you have to drink it. You can't die there. You have to give them the money. So you always drink. If you have to drink, you will drink. You don't have a choice, right? You are in a place with no water. Someone gives you dirty water. What will you do? In 1 hour, you won't drink. In 2 hours, you won't drink. In 3 hours, you will drink. And you will be happy. Okay? Then what happens next day? Diarrhea. 100% diarrhea. Every time I went to India, I got diarrhea. You know? 1,000 diarrheas. If I was helping... Well, I didn't. It's true, but I didn't die from the diarrhea. Okay. We'll talk about it. This is a money... Seats are separate. That's a money seat. I'm in the refugee camp because I want a money seat. If I want a no diarrhea seat, I have to go to the hospital. Okay? Understand? All right. So, maybe to go to the hospital in the refugee camp is a good idea. Okay. All right. So, start. Go to the refugee camp. Fly there. Get sick with them. Eat what they eat. Sleep where they sleep. Sleep in the dirt with them. And then give them the money. And then come home. You see? This is style. That's at number two. All number two is how you're thinking, right? Okay, now we have number three. Okay. Number three is you have to do it over and over. Okay? You have to finish the job. You know? You say, I'm going to help a school in Congo. I will build the school. I will hire the teachers. I will pay the salary of the teachers. So you build the school and you hire the teachers. And then you get too busy. And they are writing you letters and they say, we need money for the teachers. And you say, I'm sorry, I'm busy. You know, I got a new girlfriend. I don't have time to do this. You quit halfway. Then the seed will stop. The seed is not scared. You have to finish. Decide what you're going to do for them. And carry out the whole thing. Finish the whole thing. Then the karma, the seed is very fast. Last thing, then you can have coffee and I can have coffee also. I don't drink coffee, but when I'm here I have to because it's so good. Tatuk means when you come home and you sit down in your house, okay? After you finish the good mitzvah, after you did a good thing, okay? You gave money, you went to India, you delivered the money. I used to check the accounts. I had a calculator. The Tibetan guy had an abacus. Those tuk 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 tuk. He is faster than me. I'm like tuk 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 tuk. He's like tuk 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 tuk. Then we check all the accounts. Most boring thing. For 3 weeks we are checking accounts. With Pabong Rinpoche's original attendant, okay? And then you come home and you sit in your house and you have a nice coffee and you think, I did a good thing. I did a really good thing. You don't think, what do you call it? Pride. It's not, I'm a good man, not like that. You think, I did a pretty good thing. You know, I made the money, it was hard. I kept the money safely. I went to the refugee camp. I got diarrhea. I gave them the money. I came home. I did a good thing, you know. I'm not a Dalai Lama. I'm not Mother Teresa. But I did a nice small thing. I did something, you know. I'm okay. When you think that thought, you get a new seed equal to the first thing. Okay? That's cool. Then you can make a company that will double every year for 15 years, you see? Because how do you make a new seed? You have a coffee. You just have a coffee. Okay? My Lama called it coffee meditation. He said, Michael, time to do your coffee meditation. He make Tibetan tea for me. It's a tea, butter, old butter, milk, salt, and soda powder, baking soda powder. Then he said, you are so lucky. Here's a Tibetan tea. I'm like, okay. Then you drink. He said, drink the tea. Think about you did a good job in the refugee camp. Because then you get new seeds. Every time. Every night, you get a double. Then three. Then four. Then five. That's how you make the seed storm. I'm teaching you a very, very easy way. And it's so beautiful. And it makes you happy. You know, you come home and you say, I'm not Dalai Lama, I'm not Mother Teresa, but I did a good thing. I'm not so bad. You know, I'm okay. And then you feel happy. And then the seed, big seeds come in your mind. That's the easiest thing, okay? And very powerful, really powerful. You can change it, your foot. You can find a beautiful, beautiful partner. You can do anything. You can change your partner. If you live with somebody for 12 years and now you are always fighting, and also they are boring now, and they are not so beautiful as they were before, or handsome, okay? You can change everything. You can change everything. You can make it like before. If you plant the seeds, everything will go back to before. It's unbelievable. Then you are both acting like you are 16. Okay? It's very cool. It's very cool. It's really cool. Okay? You have to try. Alright? You can do all of this thing with coffee. And now you can practice, okay? So, we are having coffee. And if you, let me say a few things. Can the teachers from America stand up? So those people are here, they are my senior staff. They travel together with me. Cooperate. Okay. They are going to sit over here, okay? And you can come up. If you think one of them looks good, or, you know, you can check out the market. And you can ask them a question, okay? If you have a special question. I will sit here, and if you have a special question, you can ask me. Or Allah, where are you? Are you ready? She has a small thing. It's called an iPod shuffle. Right? It's a fake iPod shuffle from China. And she put all of the talks this week, all the talks this week up to now. So not tonight, but we were in Paris and then we were in Los Angeles. And it has some books on it also, one book. You can get one from there. I don't know what she's charging, but she gives the money to the refugee project, okay? She gives the money for refugee. Tomorrow you can hear it free online, okay? So it's not business, it's not a very good business, okay? Tomorrow you can go on your computer, you can get it for free. Doesn't matter. But you can support the refugee a little bit if you want to, okay? Alright, see you after the break, okay?
Oh, Shai is also helping. Yeah, we need one more. Shai Kutner. He's from Amsterdam. Tel Aviv, Amsterdam. So, if you have a question after tomorrow, he can answer. Okay, alright. So, I have to be honest. I choose some of the questions, alright? You choose some of the questions. Let's see. I see some people who give a lot of money to other people, but they didn't make any money. I see people who don't share money with anybody, and they got rich. So, how do you explain that?
That's a good one. I think the answer is the issue with the seeds, as simple as it sounds, is that there's no correlation in time. It's very difficult to find the time sequence. It's not like we go out on the street and give money and the next day we get something in return. It is a process. First of all, we have to clear our mind. We have to act in a wholesome, moral way. You cannot just give money in one hand and then go cheat on your taxes on the other hand, or do something which is morally incorrect, because that you have to have a clear mind. So it's a whole process. That's issue number one. I think the issue number two is that it takes time to build up the seeds to have the right effect. So the cause and effect is something that we can see, but it takes time before we get there. I must say from my own personal experience that I've been following these studies for the last 2 years or so, and I'm beginning to see it, that things are changing. And it's taking time. We didn't go into it, but there's a whole practice behind it. Maybe we'll talk about keeping the diary to clear our mind, to review what it is that we're doing. But once we practice it, we build up the karma or the seed, the plantation. It takes time to plant all the right seeds. And obviously, the other thing is, as we were saying before, which we still need to get the answers, we still have the old seeds which are coming up. So we do the right thing, but the seeds from the old actions where we were not as clean as we are now trying to be are coming up. So we have to not discourage and say, okay, this now happened to me, it's not the positive thing I was looking for, but this is something that comes from the past. I know that in a few months or in a couple of years or whenever, the right seeds will eventually give the fruit that we're looking for.
And one more thing, you must do with technique. You must understand technique. If you don't understand technique, seed is very slow. If you understand what you're doing, your seed is much faster. Okay? So you have to study. Study with him, study the books. And online we have what, 8,000 hours, free. You can listen for free, talk to her, mommy, the one with the baby. You can listen free, and then when you understand more, it's faster. Okay, all right. Next question. This is for Will Duncan. You guys, your whole talk, everything, 2 days, you are talking about you have to be nice to other people, you have to give them money, or you have to help sick people, or you have to help lonely people. But you are doing selfish, for selfish reasons. You want something back. You want money. Or you want a partner. Or you want to do ballet. And it feels dirty. It feels dirty. You are only doing good thing because you want something from them. Then it seems selfish. To me, it seems a little bit, takes away the magic of good deed. Yeah? Okay. Tough question.
Tough question. I think about it a couple of different ways. I tell you, in where we study, we debate all the time. And so this question often comes up in debate. And I'll tell you one of the answers that's used in debate, and then I'll tell you another way that I think about it as well. But one way that we talk about in debate is, imagine me and Mercedes, right? We're both poor. And between the two of us, say, I have $100, and that's all, right? So now if I decide to give her $50, right, and then $500 comes back to me. What are we up to now? We're up to $650 between the two of us, right? So suddenly between the two of us, we have more money in our system. Do you know what I mean? In the general system of our friendship, right, of this little unit, we have more money than we had before. So we're both winning. Do you see what I mean? There's more, and we're talking a lot about money, but, you know, it's just because that's where our minds usually are. But you can think about it in other ways, too. But in this general system, there's more money. So that's one way to think about it, that there is a general increase in the net value, right, of the system. So if I'm giving her money, right, knowing that I'll get money in return, is it okay that we're both more happy? Again, that's just for simplicity, we're equating money with happiness, which you all know is not always the case. But is it okay somehow? Is it still, if I'm helping her, she's happy, and then I'm happy, isn't that a positive thing? And I was thinking about this question a lot, struggling with it a bit, you know? And I realized I was trying to come up with an example of something I do that's not self-interested. And I started, I decided, like, really honestly, what could I come up with? And I couldn't come up with anything. You know, that almost everything I do has some level of self-interest. And I think there's a part of us where we feel most at home when we're involved in kindness towards others. You know, like I strive all day and night for other things that I think will make me happy, like money and stuff like that. But when I feel most at home, it's when I'm really helping somebody that needs it. You know what I mean? So, it's almost, the way I think about it, it's almost like a trick to get me into the place where I feel most at home anyway. Right? Because I'm always obsessed with what my needs. So if I start to use a little wisdom and realize, well, how can I actually make sure my needs are met? What it does is it actually brings me into a place where I feel most at home anyway. Do you see what I mean? It brings me into a place where I'm actually starting to work towards the happiness of others. And then all of a sudden the money becomes a secondary thing. Like Geshe Michael says, you can't stop it. So you become less concerned about the money, for example, and more concerned about just the giving. The giving becomes funner than the money. But we're so obsessed with our own needs that it's just a little trick to get us into that. But it's an interesting question. I think it's something to struggle with a bit.
If I may, just a quick comment. Dalai Lama is calling it enlightened selfishness, which is much better than any other selfishness.
One thing, think about this. We believe money is limited in the world. We believe resources, oil, or coal, or we believe there is a number of how much money is in the world. I checked on the Google, right? I think it's $60 trillion or something in the world. The value of all the banks in the world, the value of all the economies together is a certain number, right? There's a number, how many dollars, how many euros of the value of the world. In this system, if there's $100 in the world, and if I give it him half, that's what, $50, then the amount of money in the world rises to 600. Got it? The whole world money rises by giving. Giving creates all economies. Every cent of value in all the economies of the world together is made by giving. If people start giving more, the number of dollars in the economy of the world will go up. And at the end of that, everybody has a lot of money. Everybody has $1 million. You see, it's not true that there is a limit to the economy. It's not true. In this system, you make more net value of the world's economy by giving. Every time giving is done, the amount of dollars in the world will rise for everybody. Got it? So it's not selfish. You are creating more wealth in the world. It's very beautiful. Then if everybody kept giving to each other, nobody will be poor. There will be no poverty in the world. There will be no poor countries and rich countries. You see? There will be no rich people and poor people. Everybody will be rich. If they use this system, the value of the world goes up and everybody has more money. It's very interesting. It's not true that there's a limit. Okay? Is it true you have to send a letter to your friend by paper mail? Is it true you have to send a fax or a telegram? Then you say, no, you can use internet. But that didn't exist 20 years ago. There was no such thing 20 years ago. Now communication is unlimited. Now communication is instantaneous. That's new. And it will be that way with money. There will be free money, like there will be free internet. It will be, in the future, it will be free. Everyone will have any money they want. It's very beautiful. It's exciting. It's really exciting. Okay? All right. Yeah. If they give food, if they share food. Yeah, there's only so much earth, right?
Yeah.
It's not possible that there would be more food than you can grow on the world, right? There is a limit to the earth size, right?
And then where you can destroy
it. Yeah. And the sunlight, and there's a limit to the earth. You see? You're right. Also, there's a limit to copper wire. Copper wires, which carry telephone information, there's a limit. You cannot communicate to another country unlimited because there's only enough copper for a few wires to go from America to Europe. It's not possible to send more than 5 telegrams at the same time. It's not possible. Understand? There's only a limited amount of copper in the world. It's not possible to communicate, for 100 people to communicate to 100 people in Europe at the same time. There's only one cable across the Atlantic. Do you understand? True?
You have said that. I think communication is a problem, but I think if...
But food is different. Yeah. There's a reason for the limit. There's a seed which causes the environment change. And there's a seed why more people make more pollution. And those you can change. You see? You can change all things. It's very beautiful. You can have more population and less pollution. And there will be more land for everyone. It's a very strange thing in this system. And we cannot guess now what it will look like. We are thinking copper wire. We are limited by copper wire, you see? And we can't, 20 years ago, you can't imagine the satellite will carry free. Google this week said free telephone call to anywhere in the world. Google announced this week free telephone call to anywhere in the world. It's not possible. 30 years ago, I think it's not possible. You see, what I'm saying, if the seed changes, impossible things become possible. It's very beautiful. There's no limit. Something strange will happen. I don't know what. Maybe another world will open. You see, some strange thing will happen. No. If you say to a person, and when I started my business, you can make a telephone call to all of your offices free. Free. You know, we are using telex. We are ka-chung, 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 A, B, C, ka-chung, ka-chung, ka-chung. Then if you told in my business, if you said, you can call anyone in the world for free, we say you're crazy. There's no such thing. We cannot imagine what the seed can produce. Try
try to understand that impossible things can happen. It's very fun. It's really cool. You will see things in your lifetime that you cannot imagine. You will see. You will see things you cannot imagine. Like the internet. It's possible. Okay? It will come. It will come. It will come. You will see things you don't believe. Okay. I say, you will see things you can't imagine. In your life you will see. Because we are having this evening. Alright. This question for Beth. These principles you are talking about, they come from a Buddhist book, Dhammakaya. These principles come from Buddhist book, spiritual book. Okay? But if you are not interested in Buddhism, and you are not interested in spiritual life, you don't care about meditation, can you still use these principles? Do they still work?
That's a good question. Whoever wrote that, I think they were knew a little bit about me. Geshe Michael talked about this university that he built, and that there was a 14-year program, and he just graduated. Was it 130 students?
134.
134. and it's a really long program. When my husband started studying with Geshe Michael, it wasn't anything that I was interested in. I didn't consider myself a very spiritual person. I had a lot of faith, but I didn't find myself spiritual. So these principles work for me. So I would say that yes, you can. These karma does work. If we all know how gravity works, right? Peter, if I drop this, what's going to happen? It falls because of gravity, right? It's cause and effect. It's the same thing with karma. If I could share a quick story. A couple years ago, and Geshe Michael had talked about this, some of the markets in the United States for real estate were really poor, and we wanted to sell our house. We watched our neighbors had their house on market for 9 months, a year and a half would go by, and houses weren't being sold. My husband and I tried a different approach. We tried planting the seeds to help as many people as we could. So if someone wanted to stay at our house, we would let them have a space. We would give them our bed. We would buy food for them. We would make it really comfortable for them. When there were other houses up for sale in the neighborhood, we would drive by that house and hope that someone would buy that house before ours, so that it could help us too. In a market again that was houses were sitting for a year and a half and people were losing money. We sold our house in 36 days. And I think it was because of the karma, it was cause and effect. We planted that good seed and it came back to us.
Question for Ellie. She's the only Hollander on our stuff, okay? I mean, her mother or grandmother?
Father.
Okay. Okay, question. I am walking down the street in New York City, probably. I see on the other side of the street, there's a woman. She is walking with her purse. And one guy comes up to her and starts to beat her to get her money. He's hitting her to take her money, right? That hitting, what you're saying, is coming from a seed in her mind. Okay? Her karma. It's not my problem. She has seed in her mind, and one man is trying to hit her. Okay? So, it seems, I think, I should just walk. I shouldn't help her. She has the karma, she has the seed, that's her problem. I cannot take the seed away from her. I cannot help if the mugger, the thief, is coming from her mind. Then how can I help her? I shouldn't try. It's just her karma. It's just her own seed. Okay? That's my point.
Okay, so while the microphone was coming this way, I was thinking about it.
It's, well, okay, you're involved, the woman is involved, and the mother is involved. So from your point of view, you're seeing somebody getting hurt, and it's not a pleasant thing from your point of view. I mean, if you want to be completely selfish about it. So you can say, I don't like seeing this in my world. So the best way to get rid of that karma is to help the person. And, of course, from the point of view of the person who's being hurt, then you could say, oh, that's their karma. But maybe it's their karma to have you help them. You know, you're not saying, it's like the aspirin. If you want to get rid of your headache, and you have to create the karma, but then the aspirin can be something. It gives you the karma to get the aspirin. Or maybe if she had the karma to have you coming along, you don't know that. So from her point of view, it's also, I'm saying it's a woman, but it's not necessarily actually a woman. Then the third person is the person who's mugging them, right? And that person is creating very bad karma for the future. And that's perhaps that person is the most, they're in the most difficult position because those have to suffer later. So if you want to help that person, then you have to stop them at any cost. So for those three, for everybody involved, it's best to help stop the mother.
So I would add one thing. Understand one thing. When you try to help another person, you are trying to stop the man from hitting her. Maybe he will hit you. Maybe he will kill both of you. Maybe he will run away. You can't control that thing. That is the seed in her mind. You cannot control that. Understand one thing. When you try to help people, that depends on their seed. Maybe the person will get angry about you. Sometimes you try to help people and they fight with you. You can't stop that. That is their own seeds, right? But for your side, you have to help. Because you have to make a seed for your world. You have to change the world. You must help other people. You don't have a choice. If you understand seeds, you must help other people. There's no choice, okay? Whether you succeed or you don't succeed now, it's up to their seeds. You can't control. But you have to try for your own seeds. Got it? You have to try. I'm not saying you will succeed, but you have to get used to that. You try to help people, sometimes they get angry. You have to understand this is just your seeds, but you still have to try to help. Especially the people who hurt you, you must help them, right? Who said that? Some Christian guy. Okay, this one for Ningbo, Venerable Ningbo. This is a really good question. You have to tell me who asked this question. Usually, if you want something, it is something that you don't have. You said, if I want something, I must give the same thing. But then I don't have that thing because I want that thing. Okay, got it? All right. So you said to get money, I have to give money. But the reason I want money is I don't have money. So how will I ever get the money? Okay.
Okay. So I don't know. I'll give you two things. Maybe an easy one and a hard one. The easy one maybe is that the most powerful thing about putting seeds in your mind is that they happen in your mind. So, for example, maybe, you know, like somebody comes up to me and asks me for some money, and I don't have any money on them, but what am I thinking in my mind is actually the most important thing. So, they might come up to me and ask me for some money, and I'm like, oh, I don't have any money, but in my mind I could be thinking, I would give you money if I had it, I would like to give you money. In fact, I hope you get the money that you need as soon as that could possibly happen. And then if you're thinking that way in your mind all the time, it's very similar to this unlimited resources idea that we discussed before. What it does is you put seeds in your mind to see something new created. And so then something new comes about. And think you'll find that if you really genuinely want to help people, over time, as you put those seeds in your mind, they'll start to ripen, and then you'll have the ability to be able to help them. So, like I always say that when I get that question, I always say, say for example, I wanted to give everybody in the world a pen, could I do it? And right now, I have to say no. You know, like, I think there's 6 billion something people. I don't have 6 billion pens. And probably by the time I got 6 billion pens, there'd be 7 billion people. So, like, I don't think it's physically as possible. But if it's true, this idea about if I give you a pen as I give you a pen, Prajnaparamita, I think in my mind, because this thing is empty, may all people have everything that they ever wanted to get. And that puts a seed in my mind, right, to go out to see that. Then is it possible that I could give everybody a little pen? And then you have to say yes. So that's one thing. Keep in mind that the most powerful thing is what you're doing in your mind when you give or aren't able to give something. If I'm thinking in my mind, I wish I could, then eventually I think that would ripen to being able to help them. So that's the easy answer. Then the hard answer is don't kid yourself. I don't have $5 to give to my friend, but did you eat today? My suspicion is you did. Where did the money come from? It's all about priorities, right? What's my priority? We always say, I don't have time to help somebody, right? I'm busy, like I have this tour I've got to be on, I travel all over the world, and I don't have time to help people. but, did I have time to feed myself? Did I have time to take a shower? Did I have time to do laundry today? Did I have time to get enough sleep myself? I did all those things. So the truth is I do have it. I just have to figure out, how am I going to, where's it going to come from? Maybe today I don't have the Starbucks, and so then I have the $3 that when somebody asks me for some money, I can give them something. And then maybe they ask me for 50 and I can only give them 3. But then again, it's the same thing. What am I thinking in my mind? I give them the $3 and I hope that you get the $50 that you're looking for, and I hope I can give people the things they want. And then I think like that, then we'll see it all start to change.
So, question for Mercedes. When people bend the spoon, so they have a spoon and they bend the spoon, right? They are changing the shape of something in the world, right? So they, when I take this and I go like this, what is happening to the seeds at that time? Because it seems like I want it, so I bend it. I want to see it bend, and I bend it. It seems like it's coming from my wanting. You said pen is not coming from wanting, right? You cannot close your eyes and see a diamond, right? But you can do some things. You can bend the cloth. Okay, how is that happening? How is that happening? What? How does that relate to seeds?
Can you read the whole question?
When people bend spoons or transform matter, what's happening to the seeds there? Do they change them or ripen different ones? In their case, it seems the thought does make it happen.
We saw the questions come in, and I got attracted to this one immediately, and I picked it, and I said, I want that one, and I had like a minute to think about it. But the thing that I saw immediately in that question was the transforming of matter, and bending a spoon, or this idea of how miracles could happen, or how are they possible. I'm fascinated with the idea of a miracle and how it could occur and what's going on with the person's seeds, of the people who witness a miracle or people see a miracle, because I heard about miracles growing up and then I didn't see them. And I wondered, well, did they really happen? Like, was there this guy Jesus like walking around doing miracles? Is it possible for reality to shift? Are there ways that other people could be living in a different existence than I am, and how are they capable of doing it? And the first thing that comes to my mind when I hear that question is, well, where is the world coming from? Is the world coming this way? This concrete world where some people are able to do crazy things that I can't do. Is it coming this way? Or is it coming this way? Because if it's coming this way, right, then anything is possible. Then miracles are possible. Then a new food source appearing, new planets opening, walking on water, putting my hand into a fire and not experiencing a burn. Like, anything is possible. There are no limits. There are no closed doors anymore if it's coming from me. But can I just wish it, right? Like, can I just decide to bend a spoon and look at a spoon? Like, I did it when I was a little girl. I heard about Jesus and the miracles, and I remember staring at a mountain, because there's a line in the Bible that says your faith could move a mountain, and I was like staring at this mountain, and I was thinking, I've got the faith, and I was really distressed, because I thought, why is the mountain not moving? Because Jesus did the miracles, and I had the faith, and why can't I move this mountain? And I was about 6 years old. And then I got older, and I saw an episode on That's Incredible, where there was some freaky guy who was like lifting books off the ground and lifting papers on the ground, and they said it was just concentration. So I remember getting a cup out and staring at the cup intensely, like trying to move the cup if I just could concentrate enough, and the cup wasn't moving. I was like, well, why is it moving? Like, I've got the faith, I've got the concentration, like, it's not moving. Why can't I bend the spoon? And there is a line in the Yoga Sutra, Ahimsa Pratishtaya Tatsangya Vairagya Vairagya. Anyway, what it means, Ahimsa, right? What it means is a person who ceases to respond with violence in their world, in small ways and in big ways, will experience a world free of violence. Violence will disappear from their world. It won't be possible. So if I am somebody who eradicates any kind of aggression or anger or violence from my own heart, I will not be capable of seeing violence in my world or experiencing violence in my world. Why? Because the world is coming this way. Right? It's not coming at me. It's coming from me. So if I change my own heart, then my world will change. So if I was an incredibly pure person, right? Like, so how would I do a miracle? Like, if I was like walking around trying to save people, like all day long, and trying to teach people about truth all day long. And everyone else around me was experiencing a fire or something like that. And I didn't have a seed in my heart to be hurt because I was like a Mother Teresa or something. Like, I was helping the people like get over their sickness or their fevers or their illness if I served people enough. And my own heart got completely pure. I could not be burned by the fire. Because there is no seed in my heart for fire to burn me. So if someone has an ability, right, to say walk on water, they do not have the seed to drown. They have the seed, through the power of their intention, right, to make a matter which is fluid for somebody with, say, little faith, who steps out onto the boat and starts to sink, right? But the purity of their own heart is so strong that they are actually able to transform the matter from something that is fluid into something solid, because of their wisdom, because of their understanding that outside reality is actually coming from them. But I think it's not just wishing, right? It's not just wishing I could walk on water. It's, do you have the seeds in your heart of helping enormous amounts of people? Have you planted the kindness into that water so that when you walk on it and you say, be solid, be firm, it responds?
So I'll do one last question, just stay, okay? Which is, I want to remove my old bad seeds. That's the last thing tonight, okay? I understand what you are saying. All you guys, I understand. If I want money, I give money. That plants a seed in my mind, money will come to me. If I want to be young, strong, I have to help other people and in sick people, and then I will be strong. And if I, by the way, should you still do yoga? Should you still do yoga or quit yoga? Do you have to do yoga anymore if you help sick people? Do you have to do yoga if you want to be young and strong? Do you have to do yoga? Or something like that? Will it make you young and strong? No, it's like the aspirin, you see? Some people, they hurt their neck. Okay? Some people, they do jogging and they hurt their legs. If you help sick people, then you do yoga. The yoga will work. If you help sick people, you will want to do yoga and it will make you young. The yoga is not the cause. The yoga is the instrument of the cause. The cause is helping sick people. The yoga is the instrument and it will make you young. Got it? Should you do yoga? Yes. After you visit the hospital. Got it? You still have to do yoga. Does gasoline run your automobile? If you took other people other places. That's another story. I won't go there. Okay, so there are two kinds of bad seeds. There are two kinds of bad seeds. One bad seed, you know you did it. Okay, you know you did it. When I was young, when I was 13, I got a girlfriend, okay? And I wanted to buy her a ring. I didn't have any money. So I went to my mother's room, I got her purse, I took out $15, and I stole it. Okay? So I know I have this seed. I remember. I know I have this seed. So I have to take that seed out of my mind before it opens. I must take it out before it opens. So some seeds you remember. You remember what you did. Before it opens, you want to change it. Why? What's the problem with $15? What's wrong? I'm going to lose $15. What's the big problem? Yeah, I will lose more. How come Colombia is so advanced? I don't know. If I steal $15, and if it takes 30 years to open the seed, I will lose thousands of dollars. You see? It grows. All seeds grow. If you have to give $5 to get $5, then just forget it. Just don't give it. It's a zero. Five out, five in. There's nothing. You give $5 because 500 can come back. You have to cut the seed for the $15 that you stole from your mother's purse, because now you're talking $5,000. It grow. All seeds grow. All seeds grow. It's a good thing and it's a bad thing, right? Some seed we don't remember. Some seeds we don't remember. That's a problem. That's a real problem. We have lots of seeds we don't remember. In my karma pocket, very big. I have old things I don't remember. I did them. I remember my mother's purse. I don't remember. I hit my brother 10,000 times. I don't remember all of them. Okay? Those seeds, you have to take care of them when you see the result. Okay? You start to see the result, you have to act quickly. Okay? What do you mean? If you start to get sick, some news doctor says, you go to the doctor, they say, they do a test for cancer, and they call you and you know, did you know this? Did it happen to you? You go to the doctor because you are sick. They do a test. Then they say, call back in 3 days. 3 days you are nervous, you know. Then you call the office and you talk to the secretary. You say, this is Michael Roach. I had a medical test 3 days ago. And they go, oh. You have to talk to the doctor. They don't say, oh, it's negative. They say, oh, Michael, you have to talk to the doctor. Then they put you on hold. Then 3-4 minutes, you are very frightened. And then the doctor tells you, look, maybe you have cancer. Looks like maybe you have cancer. Okay? We're not sure. That didn't happen to me, but I had, you know, small thing. I had a cough. Long period. It means you must have some sin for not helping sick people or hurting somebody. You must have. Why? Because you are sick. So you don't have to remember the sin. If you see a problem coming, you have to take out the sin right away. Even if you don't remember, because there must be a sin. Got it? Okay? Some sin you don't remember, you can, but you start to have a problem. You must act quickly to stop the sin. Okay? Now I tell you how, and then you can go home, okay? We can also go home. We have some pizza waiting. How to take the old seed out of your mind. So now we are talking about two seeds. I have seed, I remember I took money from my mother. I also have a seed that is making me sick. I don't remember how, I don't remember what I did, but there must be there. So how to remove it? The most powerful way to remove an old seed is to make a promise in your mind. I will not do that thing again. Okay? You make a promise in your mind. I will not do that thing again. For example, I stole money from my mother. So I have to decide in my mind, I will not do that thing again. I will not steal money. Okay? Do you steal money? Are you the guy who is hitting the woman and taking her money? We are not like that. You are not like that. I don't think so. Okay? But do you pay your tax? Do you pay all of your tax? You know? Do you throw garbage on the street and they have to pay someone to clean for you? In the airport, do you mess up the toilet? Because someone has to pay that guy to come and clean. You are stealing money from everybody, you see? You can steal in many ways, right? So if you say, I have a bad seed because I took something from my mother. Now you have to make a promise. I will never do that again. I will control myself. I will not do that again. That decision about that seed destroys that seed. Got it? That decision about that seed destroys the seed. And then it won't open. It will never open. Karma, Ashukla, Krishna, Yogin, Srivida, Mitarisham. What'd you say?
You need to keep the karma.
Well, we'll talk about that. Okay?
So big, with a big bad seed, big seed, you can make a promise. I will never steal again. That promise destroys the old bad seed. And you can feel happy. It's destroyed. It will not. They say in the book, in the Diamond Cutter, they say you will get a headache. Or you will lose 5 cents. Or, you know, you will bite an apple, it will be inside rotten, and you throw it out, it's finished, karma's finished. You don't lose $5,000. Like that. Now, I have another example. My wife always complaining to me. Okay? My wife always telling me, you are lazy, you are stupid, you don't know how to do things, like that, okay? For example, is that coming from a seed? Is there a seed for that? Yes or no? It must be coming from everything comes from seed. Everything. What's the seed? Where did the seed come from? Okay, Columbia, just answer for them. Okay. Yeah, I complained about somebody else, okay, before. 1 month before, 2 months before. I did the same thing. It put a seed in my mind. Now I see my wife is complaining to me all the time. Okay? Got it? How do I stop that seed? I want to stop my wife complaining to me. I don't like my wife is complaining to me. Or my girlfriend. It used to be she told me how good I am. How handsome I am. Now she's just complaining to me all day. What is the seed in my mind? Who put the seed in my mind? Who put it there? Say, it's okay, you can say it. I put it there. How did I put it there? I complained about somebody else. By the way, it doesn't have to be your wife, okay? If you complain about your boss, then you come home, your wife complained to you. That's okay. The seed can go this way, okay? Now I ask the last question, then you can go home. Okay? Last question. Is it okay to make a promise now? I will never complain about my wife. My whole life, never. I will not complain about anybody for my whole life. Okay? Good promise? It will destroy the seed. It will destroy the seed. Okay? Is it a good promise? No, it's not a good promise. Yeah, you'll forget after one day. Okay? You're 100% right. After one day, you will forget your promise. After one day, you will complain to your wife again. Except now you have one new seed. What? Yeah, you have new seed because you broke a promise. Okay? Now you have double. Now you have two seeds. Yeah. Now other people will start to lie to you. Now other people will break promise to you. Okay? So the lamas say, the big lamas, they say, when you want to stop an old seed, make a promise that you can keep. Okay? Make a time limit. Make a time limit. 3 days I won't say bad things to my wife. 3 days. Today is Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. On Thursday I can say anything to her. Okay? But so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday I have to shut up. Okay? Then I always make suggestion. Take a trip to France for 3 days. Leave the wife here. With your cell phone. Okay? Then you can keep it. You can keep your promise. Okay? So, make a time limit and it will still work. Okay? It still works. So, if you have a problem, if you have medical problem, if you have husband problem, okay? If you have money problem, stop those seeds. First step, stop the old seeds. Then make a new seed, okay? First step, stop the old seeds. With the money, what? People ask me for help. I have enough money to help them, but I'm lazy. I don't want to help them. Now you have to promise, make promise. This week, if I have enough money, if someone asks me for money, I will help them. Make a promise, like that. If I see a person at my job has a headache, I will always help them. I will not ignore them. Okay? If I see old person, nobody's talking to them, nobody ever talks to them, I will talk to them. Make a promise like that. Okay? That will cut the old seed. Then you do the new seed, right? What's the new seed for money? This is the last thing. Just tell me you can go home. Okay? Columbia, you can't talk, okay? Her real name is Carmen? No. Yeah. So, Carmen, Columbia. What's the seed if you want $250 million? What's the seed? What's it? What do you have to do? Help other people. With understanding. With understanding. If you want to change the bone in your leg, how? How to do it? Should you do operation or should you do vitamins? What do you think? Should you do operation or should you do vitamins? Help the sick people. Okay? Help the sick people. Then you can do operation. Or then you can take vitamin. It will work. Either one. Doesn't matter. What? You can do anything. It will work. Okay? First make the cause, the instrument will come. First make the cause, the instrument will come. Okay? Last question. If you want a nice partner, or you want your partner to be more interesting or more fun, okay? How? What should you? What is the secret? Help the lonely people. Most lonely people are old people, okay? There are also kids who are lonely. Okay? And also there are irritating people at your job. They are also lonely. Help the lonely people. Okay? Now, last question.
Keep breaking the promise.
Yeah, he says I keep breaking my promise. You want to stop a war in the world. She said, Ahimsa Pratishthayam Tatsani Dalvari Jagat. How do you stop? If, you know, you say, Geshe-la, I have enough money. I'm not starving. I'm not rich, but I can buy pizza. I'm okay. I have a small apartment. I don't mind. It's okay. I don't need a car. I have tram. I also have my bicycle. It's enough. And Geshe-la, I have a nice partner. She's not 100% perfect, but she's okay. I like her. You know? And then you say, Geshe-la, I'm not Arnold Schwarzenegger. But I'm okay, I'm healthy, okay? My life is okay. But I'm worried about war in the world. I don't like to see the tension in Middle East or Africa, or this thing bother me. You know, tell me the seed to stop war in this world. Okay, what do you think? Then you can really go about my problem. We have to fix the world, then we can go about it. How to stop it? Why do you see violence?
To find within yourself.
Yeah, you check. Inside. Small violence. Why? Why small?
Because you are small.
Yeah, you are small. But small seed makes a big problem. You see? The violence in the world is caused by small violence. Not big violence. You didn't kill anybody. You didn't blow up World Trade Center. Okay? You didn't do these things. But still you have to see these wars. Still you have, in your world there is still war. In planet A there is still war. Why? You have a small seed in your heart. Your boyfriend say, let's go have pizza. And you want to have Craig. Okay? And you feel a little bit angry. And you say something. You say, yeah, okay, pizza for the third time this week. It's okay. Yeah, I'm very happy, you know. This is a small, very small violence. They call it passive aggressive. You say, oh, I'd love to have pizza for a third time this week. You know? And it's a small violence. That, to say that word is a small violence. That small violence caused the Iraq war. Got it? In your life, in your time. Stop the small ones. And you won't see, the wars will stop. I was thinking about Berlin Wall. When I was young, Berlin Wall was, it will always be there, you know? There's no solution. How long it was there? Was it 50 years, maybe? It was there for 50 years or something, from 1940-something. In my life, we thought, oh, Berlin Wall cannot, it will always be there, you know? People will always die. East German people will try to come and they will shoot them and, you know, it will be like that. Then one day we opened the newspaper, they said, they broke the Berlin Wall. It's gone. You know? I went to see it. It was beautiful, you know? It's open. There's no Berlin Wall. Then I thought, when I was young, everybody said, it will always be there. But something changed and they broke that wall. Why? Who made that? Who broke the Berlin Wall? The last question. No, you broke the Berlin Wall, right? You stopped some small violence. then crazy things can happen. Crazy things can happen. Palestinian and Israeli making olive oil factory together, and it will come. Things will come. It will come. Everything will come. Okay? Just put the seed. Now really you can go home. Okay? I'd like to say thanks.